Good morning. This is Lance Kenmore with the Kenmore team, and I'd like to welcome you to this week's edition of the Tri-Cities Real Estate Update. As always, you can contact me, Lance Kenmore, anytime direct on my cell phone at 727-8977 or visit us on the web at kenmoreteam.com. Once again, I always like to thank John for hosting and everybody here at the station for working to make this happen. John McKay, how you been over there?
Doing well, working on the tan.
Well, yeah, I mean, it goes 90 came pretty quick once it got here, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. So, no, it's been, I love it. It's been good. We've got a building project going on right now and stuff, and just seems like everything's a little bit easier in that 80 degree range. So.
Well, it's hard to believe. I was looking through some of our file photos from earlier and the pictures of Snowmageddon.
Yeah, it seems
what
like.
What a difference.
Yeah. a big, big difference for sure. Well, we always like to start off with our local real estate story and then kind of our crazy national story, which is going to lead us into our eventual topic today. But first, our local story, and that is just an update on that price range. We talk about it a lot on the show, but we put four listings on last week that were specifically just in that price range of 220 to 280. And every single one of them was in multiple offer position with at least four offers, and
wow,
all four went for over list price. Whew. And so one property, even at 215, ended up having 18 offers on it.
18?
Yeah, and so it is just still, like, we talk a lot, and Mike's not here today, we talk a lot about the buyers getting pre-approved and being ready to pull the trigger.
Yeah.
I definitely just implore people, if you are in that price range, that you are going to have to be fully pre-approved, ready to pull the trigger. It was extremely competitive. And so that's a spot where our inventory is just so limited, but that's really a great price point for, you know, first-time home buyers, people downsizing to get into. And so because it is so specific, please just get on our alerts, because we're usually wanting people to get out there and write those offers within hours.
Yeah, I like the way you said extremely competitive in there. I get this visual of, like, you know, when people on Black Friday crashing over each other in the store.
It's not too far away from that in
wow.
some of it. And then, you know, it becomes, you know, the agents working on that, there's a lot to evaluate. That's a lot of terms to go through. You know, normally you get one offer. That right nowadays they're about, you know, 20 to 27 pages between your addendums. Now you're reviewing, you know, 19 to 20 offers at 27 pages. I mean, you're reviewing
wow.
over, you know, 400 pages of terms, and it becomes quite.
Because you want to be fair and consider all of the.
You absolutely, and more importantly,
and legally, you have to be
too.
Fair.
Where we're representing the seller in that situation is, we have an obligation to the seller to make sure, you know, we're maximizing their return, representing their best interest, and so one term on one page can make a big difference. So. That's kind of the update in that 200 to 300 price point. Big, quick movement going on right now. So, national real estate's story that I came across is, obviously I'm in the business. I love real estate. It's not just my job. It's literally what I love to do. And so, I'm always kind of perusing through the sections and getting ideas for the radio show. And a couple weeks ago, the Wall Street Journal ran an article that was called "Prepared for the Worst." And it was really, really striking. It showed an overhead view in Malibu, in California. Last year, they had what they called the Woolsey Fire, the
yes.
Woolsey Canyon Fire. And they showed this overhead view of this neighborhood, and it looked like a new construction neighborhood. But really, when you looked closer, it was only foundations, because all of the houses had been destroyed, except for one. And so there was one house amidst all of this that was left. So Wall Street Journal kind of ran this expose article, and the guy's name was Philip Voigt, and he had specifically designed the house in anticipation of fire prevention. He had spent about 20% more than standard constructions. And granted, we are talking, it was, I mean, this is a $3 million house, you know, so
yeah,
it was pretty intense. But he had 50,000 gallons of water storage built in, 1,000 feet of hose. He had used a special roof laminate that had an extra fire prevention layer on it so the embers wouldn't burn through it. I mean, it
wasn't he the guy that had the auto system that these water cannons would come on?
And he had so he could soak the property. So it was really, really interesting. And then that got me thinking about our local area. And we've had this in the news, and it's been here too. And really, then I was out running Badger, and I looked at how much snowpack we had had and how green everything was and how much, you know, how much foliage there was. And I thought to myself, gosh, this could be again another fire, big fire season. So I thought there's got to be somebody that knows way more than I do, which is very, very limited about this. So we did a little research, and our topic today is about fire safety, and then talking a little bit about some of this vegetation issues and fire safety. So we put out some emails and started looking around, and I'm pleased to have as a guest today, special guest, we have Nathan Raby, captain of the Kennewick Fire Department. Nathan, welcome to the show.
Well, thank you very much.
So we reached out to you, and I was excited. The second, you know, you started talking and responded, and my assistant, and we got everything set up, and then the first 2 or 3 minutes off the air here, I was pretty sure we have the right guy here to talk about this. So give me a little bit about your background and now your current role with the fire department.
Well, thank you very much. You know, my background, I've worked for the city of Kennewick just a little over 30 years.
Wow.
I was promoted to captain about 28 years ago or 26 years ago. So long ago, I can't even hardly remember anymore. Right. But with the city, I've had opportunities. And before I started working for the city, I worked for several other fire districts and departments, worked my way through college, and got into working with incident management teams. And incident management teams are the groups that go out and on these large fires and manage the incident for those agencies. And around here, we have our what we call a Type 3 team, which is our local group. And then there's what they call Type 1 and Type 2 teams. And I was an incident commander of a Type 2 team in the Pacific Northwest
for the last
6 years. And I've been on the incident management teams for over 20. So part of my jobs in those was a structure protection specialist and building structure protection plans and going through and looking at what was causes for fire losses.
Okay, gotcha. Mm-hmm. And so locally, I mean, one of the things I think it really became apparent, you know, last year when we had the fire in South Kennewick. I mean, what are some of the things that you guys start looking at in those incidents?
Well, overall, you know, we've had these incidents throughout the Tri-Cities area. Every couple of years, we tend to seem like we lose a house or two to a fire that starts in a natural cover area and then progresses into the residential areas. And what we really look at and what I've been focusing on lately in my new role here before I retire is how does that fire transition from the wildland to the structure, and what can we do to help prevent that from happening?
Okay, gotcha. And that's something I think a lot of times, you know, as from my perspective, you know, sometimes that gets missed a little bit. I mean, when we're selling a house, a lot of times people say, oh my gosh, I love this house because it backs up to that open space.
Exactly.
And when we do that, I mean, it is a huge, you know, in general, it's a huge kind of selling or buying advantage. You know, people don't like to have the neighbors and stuff. And then I think a lot of times what we miss is what should we be looking at in that open space and at our boundaries. And so what are some of the things you see or the tips with landscaping for those type of houses that people need to be looking at?
Well, so the big thing that we look at is what we call defendable space. And in those defendable spaces, we look at three zones. And the first zone is from your foundation line out to about 5 feet. And we really don't want anything that burns in that area. So, you know, a lot of us have bark or mulch and stuff in there.
Yes.
Anything that can smolder or burn is some things we don't want in there. So my personal house, I've just got rock. I've got rock out for a ways. You can what we call hardscape, so the rocks, concrete or pavers, something in there that's not going to burn. If we look at how fire attacks the structure, it'll either move in three ways. It'll either move from the natural fire burning into the vegetation and then transfer onto the house. It'll do what we call ember cast. So the embers and stuff in front of the fire will come in and settle down into debris or plants or stuff around the structure and then catch the structure on fire. Or we'll do radiant energy where like the, we got a bunch of trees really close by or another structure and that radiant energy. Radiant energy will transfer to the house and start the house on fire. So we look at the defendable space.
Just the sheer heat causes.
Exactly, the sheer heat. Now, most of the time in wildland fires, it's not that big of a problem because if we have at least 100 feet away from the structure, the radiant energy dissipates so quickly that it doesn't have a problem.
Okay.
Where we are looking at is your outbuildings or another structure next to the building that's close in or a large amount of vegetation right there that actually transfer that heat into the structure.
Okay, so because sometimes you'll see like a shop or something.
Exactly.
Out there.
Exactly. Yeah. So it's not just your house, but it's also some of those ancillary buildings or even your neighbor's building. As we know, prices are going up, property is getting more expensive. So what we tend to do is we tend to build our houses closer. Right?
You nailed it.
And closer together. When we do that, we bring that energy, we bring that problem closer. And so if we get one house on fire, we end up can have multiple houses on fire.
Okay, that makes sense. And yeah, I mean, when you said that, I mean, it seems like common sense, but I've never quite thought of it that way. Okay, gotcha. So that first zone of your house, mainly just rock. And then when you get outside of that 5 feet, what are we looking at?
So the next range there is that 5 to 30 feet out there. And what we want to look at there is we want to reduce the amount of vegetation that can burn. We're not, when we look at defensible space, we're not looking at making a moonscape and things.
Yep.
We want to have vegetation in there. We want to have that natural look and stuff if we can, or, a manicured look or a maintained look. But we're looking for putting plants in that are fire resistive plants. And, what we find a lot of times right now, of course, in a lot of structures, especially buildings that, are built back in the 70s and stuff, we use a lot of arborvitas, a lot of pine, not necessarily pine trees, but spruce trees and stuff, and all of those vegetation is highly flammable.
Oh, yeah. Arborvita, so, they're like candles.
Well, it's one of the things, one of the things
McKay, do you know why I'm being silent over here? Do you know why I'm not speaking?
You had arborvitas?
Yeah, because I have arborvitas.
We had them in our backyard, too.
Okay. Yeah. What they call arborvitae is they call them plant torches.
Plant torches.
Yeah, because they get, especially at the bottom, you reach in there and you better have gloves on because you're going to pull out shoeboxes of dead needles.
Exactly. So if you take a look at your arborvitaes, either the ones on the ground or the ones that are up, if you open that up, it's nice and green on the outside, but inside it's all dead.
Okay.
And all the dead debris in there. And if you take like the junipers and stuff, they already are very flammable already.
Okay.
And you just have all that stuff together. And matter of fact, one of my own houses or one of my buildings I had was caught on fire by a neighbor's structure catching on fire and moving through some tam junipers just after I bought it.
Oh, man.
And burnt the corner of mine. And if I hadn't started reducing that, I would have probably lost that building.
Okay. Well, here we are, folks. We've been talking about the fire zones, the three fire zones leading up to your home and some of the things we can do to make that safer. I think we've already established the fact that I personally have violated maybe one of them. I'll have the tape measure out tonight to make sure I'll be keeping an eye on those arborvitae. When we come back from the break, we're going to talk about that third zone, get a few more fire safety tips, and hopefully keep some people and their structures and property safe out there.
Right here on News Talk 870.
Welcome back to the Tri-Cities Real Estate Update. We've been talking with Nathan Raby, Captain of the Kennewick Fire Department, about some Great tips on fire safety, how to keep your structures, your property safe. I tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to switch it up a little bit. I'm going to get some property in real quick before we go back to talking about that. Because generally, McKay, we get interesting guests like this, and I tend to run out of time and forget about what I have to fit in there. So real quick, because we talked about inventory and this really being the time of the year that new inventory comes on. So my pick three this week is we just listed. We've got 8706 West Canyon in Kennewick. The great views. This is a four-bedroom, three-bath home up in the Ridge subdivision. 2155 square feet. Awesome wraparound porch. You've got vaulted ceilings, gas fireplace in the formal dining room. Great updated kitchen. Fully fenced backyard. Detached garage and shop. And that's priced in that just hot range at $315,000. Pick number two, 3403 West 34th Avenue in Kennewick. This is a four-bedroom, three-bath. Lots of modern style in this. This is at Canyon Lakes Loden Green, so kind of in, right in the center of Canyon Lakes up there. 2356 square feet, awesome gourmet kitchen, granite counters, full-tile backsplash. Great, great property. You've got a pergola-covered patio, built-in barbecue, slab granite around it, and then you've got three-car garage with epoxy floors. That one's coming in at $385,000. And then over to Pasco, 9412 Lancaster. This is an oversized corner lot, awesome water feature outside, four-bedroom, two-bath Rambler. This is West Pasco there in Broadmoor Place. Just over 2,000 square feet. Vaulted ceilings also in this property. New stainless steel appliances in the kitchen. Awesome split bedroom design. So you get the master on one side, the other two bedrooms on the other side of the house. Like I said, great, great water feature outside. Awesome landscaping, vinyl siding, and that is coming in at $299,900. So once again, this is kind of our hot, hot spring market where we're getting a ton of new inventory. Obviously, it's going very, very quickly. If you have any questions about that, go to kenmoreteam.com and shoot us a message. Back to our topic today on fire safety. Before the break, we talked about two of the three zones from your house, kind of that first zone of having that non-flammable material in that first 5 feet. And and then we talked about the plant torches being like arborvitae.
Right.
And trying not to put that within the next 30 feet, did you say?
Yeah,
roughly?
We're around about 30 feet. We want to reduce that fire load and space things out a little bit in that area.
Okay, so Nathan, talk to me about zone three. What are we looking at there?
And that's our final zone now. In our most of our fuels, the zone three doesn't play in as much unless you have a large property. But in that area there, if we have trees and stuff, we want to open the trees up a little bit, thin them out. And what we're trying to do is open the crown space. So if one tree does catch on fire, it doesn't spread to the other trees.
Gotcha.
So, and when we look in those areas, both in the second and third zone, is we want to reduce the brush and stuff in the understory so we don't have a ground fire that gets up into the trees. And those are what we call ladder fuels that get up in those trees. And then once it gets into a crown fire, it's so much energy is released. And along with the energy is embers and everything else gets casted out in the convection column that causes a problem for the area.
I can imagine that being a terrible, terrible problem.
Yeah, and it's much harder to put the fire out. If we can keep the fire on the ground, it's much safer for the residents, much safer for us, and we can control the fire much easier that way.
Okay, gotcha. And then obviously you see some of these incidents where it just makes it worse when you add high winds to our situation.
Right. In the Tri-Cities, or, you know, our big, and we do have large fires, but our large fires happen during wind events almost all the time.
Gotcha.
It's either wind events or we'll call high Haynes days where we get a lot of movement in the atmosphere. But those are our high fire days, and of course we've seen the results of those over the past 20 years. We've lost multiple structures throughout the community on those days.
Absolutely. And then, you know, I mean, I guess, you know, obviously those are tragic situations, but then people maybe start to pay attention a little bit to some of that.
Correct. You know, so the other thing we want to look at is not necessarily also the doing our defendable space. We want to look at hardening our homes also. So when we take a look at a home, if it has a, we want to have a, a a fire-resistive roof. So if it's a wood shake roof, and, you know, 30 years ago when I started here in Kennewick, we had a lot of wood shake roofs.
Yes, we did.
Some of the codes have changed and stuff, so now if you need to replace it, it won't be allowed. And, but we still have those homes, and wood shake roofs are, might as well stack tinder on top of the house, right?
Right, so. Yeah. And being in real estate, I've been involved in my fair share of credits and redoing those roofs right. over the years.
Right. So we want to look at that as one thing. So our suggestion is people, when it's time to re-roof, that they re-roof it with what we call Class A roofing, which is typically the stuff that we have around here. We go work your way down. Gutters is another big area you want to look at. You want to make sure there's no debris, pine needle leaves and stuff like that in there, because the embers drop into those, catch on fire, start the roof on fire.
Okay.
Working down, we just want to make sure that our siding is in good shape. If we have the hardy board or stucco and stuff, that's even better. But we want to make sure that's good and tight at the foundation, so there's no places where fire can get into.
You know, that was in that article from the Wall Street Journal about that right. guy's house that said he said he was very specific, too, about using that cement fiber board.
Right, exactly.
And a lot of times, not that they'll cheapen it up, but yes, they will cheapen it up. You'll see a builder use that on the siding, but then in the soffits underneath, you know, go to a cheaper material.
Right.
Where he specifically paid the extra to make sure it was all cement fiber board.
Correct. And under the eaves and stuff, we want to make sure that we have a screening in there, and we want a metal screening so we don't get embers getting into the attic space. And I've been on multiple fires where the attics have caught on fire from that.
Okay.
From there. So we want to make sure we have screening. Screening on the crawl spaces are in good shape and is there. And then the other things we look at is debris around the structure. So tell people is, you know, you go in the fall, you got all the leaves, you got to rake up. Wherever those leaves swirl around, that's where fire embers will swirl around. So we want to make sure you clean all those areas out. So, like for myself in my house, I've got leaves. I've got a pin oak that I think is a pin oak that drops leaves in the spring.
Yeah.
So I got to do twice a year. I'm doing stuff. I wish I knew that before I put the tree in.
Right.
But you know, it drops it down into my crawl space access. So I've got to clean that out every couple times a year. But that's what we want to look for. We want to look for those debris underneath decks, wooden fences attached to the structure. Those are what we call ladder fuels.
Okay.
So we look at things like non-combustible pieces of fence in there, you know, chain link or
you could
block.
Do like a metal gate or a block on the frontage, even if there was
exactly.
wood on the side. You know what? I mean, this is why we have people like you on the show. I mean, I've been in real estate 20 years. I never thought about that as a entrance. What did you call it? What was the word you used?
It's a ladder fuel.
A ladder fuel for the fire to connect to the house.
Right.
Never even crossed my mind. That's fascinating.
And we think about our wood piles where people stack their wood piles right next to the house, right? Well, embers get dropped down into that, and now you have a ready fuel.
Okay.
So there's a lot of things that we can do as homeowners to just move some stuff away, trim down those fuels, harden our houses a little bit, and makes the house much more survivable.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, gosh, those are fantastic, fantastic tips. And then you had briefly mentioned to me, you know, we kind of talked about what we're doing here, you know, as individuals, but you have a much more global perspective about what you're trying to do.
Yeah, you know, correct. You know, part of the thing is we look at, there's a national strategy out there that dropped it out of all these large fires that are coming in that really looks at three areas. The homeowners taking care of their homes is one piece of it. Second piece of that is fuel mitigations and fuel maintenance. So in our grassland areas, you know, really what we're looking there is kind of mowing back stuff a little bit. But for example, Zinno Canyon in there, it's a canyon that's been overgrown. And we at the city of Kennewick, we're working on reducing those fuels in there so we can make it safer. And if we do get a fire, we had 9 fires in there last year.
Nine fires in Zinno Canyon last year.
But very fortunately, we didn't have a wind event with those.
Okay.
Because the Russian olives in there, and everybody's seen the fires out of Bateman Island stuff, Russian olives love to burn. And we get them up, and with a wind event, we'll just push that right down the canyon.
Yeah, you know, I was in a development in Richland just last week, off of Keene Country Ridge area, and they had a canyon like that, and I was kind of glad to see the HOA had gone in and they were starting to remove
that stuff back, yes,
because there were houses on both sides of it.
Right. And then the other piece of that is the fire responses, you know, and with Kennewick, we just got through hiring people under a SAFER grant, so we'll have more personnel looking at how we put our responses together with that, with all of our mutual aid partners and stuff. So those are kind of those three tiers, training for our personnel and stuff and going there. When we look at, you know, these fires and we look at a typical single house fire, it takes 15 to 20 people to manage that fire.
Wow.
Now let's throw all the landscape on fire and let's throw multiple structures at threat. And you see right off, it takes a huge amount of people and personnel to do to manage that incident. So that's where we really rely on the homeowners and stuff to be able to take those steps to prepare their homes, to make those defendable spaces, to harden their houses, to make it much more survivable, that if we do have that fire, we have a better chance of saving the structures.
Wow. That is really fascinating. And you do think, yeah, I mean, when you say that, yeah, one structure, 15 to 20 people, and then you get a large event. Yeah. That is a lot of people to mobilize.
And of course, it never happens on a nice, cool day either.
No.
No.
Absolutely not. Well, I'd written down as we wrap up here, I mean, I have learned a ton already. If you had to pinpoint one thing as far as one of the biggest mistakes or one or two items that you see people make with their homes, what would you say that is in relation to fire safety?
Well, I think I'm along with you, is that, you know, I have to look at myself too, and it's maintenance of the properties.
Okay.
You know, I added onto my house, there was some smaller plants around. Well, that was 15 years ago, and now they're a lot much larger. And I, you know, I was going through this whole thing and got into the mitigation. I was talking to my wife, I think we need to do some drastic landscape reduction around the house. But I think the big one is maintenance.
Yes.
People just maintaining the houses, making sure that the vents, all the spaces where a fire can get in are maintained, but also the vegetation, making sure the stuff is in good shape. You know, we can have some of these flammable vegetation out there. You just have to maintain it. You have to clean all that dead stuff out. You want to limb up so a surface fire doesn't get up into the upper areas of that. So you can have some of these plants that are a little bit more flammable, but you got to maintain them.
Okay. That is, and I would say, man, that relates really well into the real estate sector because, you know, once again, when we see very, very well-maintained properties, it takes some work.
It does.
And you have to stay on top of it. And so, you know, the best maintained houses we do see sell faster. Mm-hmm. And so I think that is helping you on two fronts with your property value and also your fire safety. Last thing before we wrap up here, this has just been an awesome show. Thank you so much.
Thank you for having me on.
The last thing we ask people is we kind of put them on the spot a little bit sometimes, and we all have within our career and what we've done, the craziest experience in your career. Mine is, I was showing a house once, and there was like an African plains cat, or it was pretty much a cheetah in a house, and so that's the one that I always go to as my end-all be-all. So do you have one of those craziest career stories comes to mind?
Over 38 years, I have several. I try to, first of all, think about ones that we probably could talk about on
the radio. Right? Thank you. It is a family show. Yes. I appreciate that.
You know, I think one of the craziest ones I had was I was an operation chief down on a fire in McCall, Idaho, multiple fires. And I did get a phone call from the White House. A staff member from the White House had called. The president wanted to check on some properties that his friends had owned, and he was just wondering how things were going on.
Oh, so, wow. So is fantastic. You've capped off the show with a great one.
Yeah, it was one of those crazy, it was a crazy incident overall, but that just kind of capped it off for me on that one.
Well, that is fantastic. Nathan, I didn't put this in kind of our notes or anything, but if a homeowner or someone has questions about this, who do they talk to at the fire department, or what's the best route to go?
You know, I think overall in our you know, throughout the entire area here is get a hold of your fire department. It's the fire prevention side. I know Kennewick is spending up on it. A lot of the departments are getting a little bit more involved in this, and they can direct you to the people that can answer the questions. The other thing is, like on the websites, the Washington State DNR has a FireWise page which talks about this. FireWise USA, you can bring that up on the internet. It has a lot of great information on this. And then also, there's a lot of great information in the area on planting. WSU Master Gardeners is a partner with us, along with the Soil Conservation Service is doing some stuff, and the Urban Tree Council. So there's a lot of groups out there that are gearing towards this, and it's a really good thing to see that happen as a community come together and do things and actions to help protect the community and become our community becomes resilient then.
Absolutely. Well, I appreciate it very much, folks. Mm-hmm. Nathan Raby with Kennewick Fire Department. Thank you for your service. Thank you for being a part of keeping our community safer.
Yes.
And, folks, we will be right back here next week.
Right here on News Talk 870.